Next on BYUSN, Kalani Sitake and Aaron Roderick officially named true freshman Bear Bachmeyer as BYU starting quarterback. We'll react to their best sound on Bear and how he won the job. Speaking of Kalani Sitake, the head ball coach, who joined us in studio to break down naming Bear Bachmeyer the starting quarterback, and how he's feeling after training camp. Besides quarterback, which BYU player are we most intrigued to see play this season? And with fall camps in the books, it's time to hand out our fall camp awards. Who was the fall camp MVP? Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans, where? Everywhere. It is Wednesday, August 20th. I am Jerem Jordan. Great to have you with us. The puns and the fun phrases around Bear Bachmeyer are out in plenty, including from BYU football, who yesterday put out the following after Bear Bachmeyer was named the starting quarterback.
What's up, Cougar Nation? This is QB1, Bear Bachmeyer. Excited to get this season going. Go, Cougs.
It's fun to use AI, and fun given Elder Garrett Gong's talk on artificial intelligence at the Marriott Center yesterday. Fun stuff. I can't wait to hear all the Bear puns, the days of 47, and so on and so forth. Keep those coming. Perhaps Top 5's Tuesday next week could feature the top 5 Bear puns. We will see. With that in mind, all rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending. The 6'2", 225-pound, number 47, will be the starting quarterback at BYU. Now it's Bear's time. He's a great decision maker.
And he is brilliant, poised, ready for the moment, physical.
He is a true freshman starting quarterback worthy of making history for BYU.
Yes, he is. All of those things. Bear Bachmeyer is named the starting quarterback as a true freshman. He'll be the first true freshman starting quarterback to open a season in BYU history. As Kalani Sitake and offense coordinator Aaron Roderick named him the starter yesterday. We're going to play some of their best sound bites from yesterday's media availability about Bear winning that job. Starting with head coach Kalani Sitake, he spoke on why he felt confident in naming Bear the starter.
I think he's a special player. I think he's very intelligent. His football IQ, he's got a great football IQ. But I think also the competition in the room got the most out of him and got the most out of McKay and the most out of Trayson and Emerson. I saw all those quarterbacks get better. And so, we felt like this was the right decision to make. And I think looking at the overall part of camp and seeing every variable that went into the decision-making process, we feel really good about it.
They feel great about it because they gave three and frankly four dudes. Emerson Geilman wasn't given kind of first-team reps per se, but they threw him in the mix and they really like what he did. More on him later. Got a mission call. Exciting. We'll tell you where. But it was a three-man race, and then that was whittled down to two. Bear Bachmeyer, McKay Hillstead, Trayson Bourget. Bourget, to me, is kind of in that third or fourth spot. Emerson Gaiman might be up in that space. Aaron Roderick talked about that later. But Kalani Sitake, Aaron Roderick, it was very clear that Bear Bachmeyer won this job. It wasn't, well, they kind of all seem even, therefore it's this guy. Spencer mentioned it the other day. No, Bear won this job. He made great decisions. He doesn't turn it over. He's very mature, he's very smart, and he won the gig. So congratulations to Bear, that's awesome. And Aaron Roderick said early in camp, it's going to be obvious. It's not going to be a shock to the team. They're going to see this player emerge, and then when we name him, it will be obvious. Aaron Roderick said the following about what sets Bear apart from other quarterbacks in the competition.
He throws a lot of completions. Yeah, he's really accurate. He's close to... Anyway, he throws a lot of completions. He's done a great job in camp taking care of the football. He's thrown the fewest interceptions of all the guys and throws a really high completion percentage and a lot of explosive plays through a bunch of touchdown passes and just has done a good job leading our team. And he's very mature, man. Our players gravitate to him. He's a good leader. And I mean, all these guys are good leaders, but rare to see a freshman who can lead the team the way he does every day.
And that's big time. We've talked about the love language of Aaron Roderick, what he speaks. He speaks, take care of the football, good decisions, be explosive as much as you can. We're seeing some of these highlights as we've shown you throughout training camp. Bear Bachmeyer won the gig, and this was on the Thursday night last week at the stadium, some 11-on-11, and he won this job, and it's been obvious. There's been no smoke around McKay Hillstead with the starting job as we welcome Spencer Lynch to the program. What's up, Spence?
What up?
We were not hearing from anyone. Hey, McKay's killing it. He's going to be the starter. McKay had some really good moments in practice, but it wasn't a rhetoric of McKay could win this. That was never a thought. I was never told that by a single person. It was always, hey, Bear's looking good. Bear could be the guy, dot, dot, dot. And here we are.
We've discussed this a few times, and you mentioned it specifically from day one. The precedent was set with the reaction from Aaron Roderick and Fessy Satake and Kalani Satake and others that Bear was way ahead of schedule and that this was now going to be a full-on battle. Like, I went in thinking, okay, it's probably Trayson or McKay because they have been around the playbook and in the offensive room for a lot longer. I don't think that was unfair to Bear Bachmeier because we just kind of assumed that he's going to be a freshman and he hasn't been around very much. But then one day they told us, no, he's right there. He is right there with those guys. And so early on in camp, and you mentioned it, we felt he has a legitimate chance to go and win this thing. And what's interesting is when Aaron Roderick said there has been some separation, he didn't mention names after the first scrimmage. It was Bear Bachmeier that was creating the separation.
He was the guy.
10 days in. And shocking as it might sound, that's a credit to who he is, his brilliant mind, his dedication to get to know the playbook. And we're hearing from players and from coaches that Bear can go in and do anything and everything that the other two guys can do, and that they feel confident that he can do anything that Jake Retzlaff did last year.
Let's play the next soundbite from Aaron Roderick, where he was asked about how a true freshman who transferred in after spring practice could change how much of the playbook is used to start the season. Here's what A-Rod said.
He knows the whole playbook already. I mean, he can run anything Jaren Hall or Zach Wilson or Jake Retzlaff did since I've been here. He's capable of doing any of that. We will start out the season, you know, we're not going to throw everything out there the first game. You never do that anyway, just for your opponents. You have to save things as the year goes on. But yeah, we're not going out there to be conservative at all. We want to attack and throw the ball down the field and have a physical run game.
That's not common, that he knows the whole playbook already. Well, he is a smart dude.
We kind of also assumed that maybe BYU relies more heavily on the run game with LJ Martin, Sione Moa, and they're not as aggressive with the passing game. Aaron Roderick is saying that that is not the case.
They could be. They won't be. Just know this.
He said they will not purposefully be conservative. Like, we want to attack through the air.
Sure. But initially, they're going to be pretty vanilla with a little bit of sprinkles.
You would think.
Yes, because you don't want to reveal all your playbook out of the gate.
Certainly not against Portland State. Or maybe frankly, not even against Stanford.
No, the first kind of part of the season. He said it either there or later. He says, you save some of it. That's how this works.
Yeah, I think when you look at A-Rod's
team. Again, Bear Bachmeier, to his credit, has given the coaches full confidence that he has the best chance to win BYU football games and certainly not lose BYU games. Like, that's always a thing. We talk about Aaron Roderick's love languages. Like, one is, my quarterback can't lose us the game. He has to protect the ball, and he has to be efficient in the red zone. And the guy that drives the team up and down the field and gives us the best chance to score points. Like, those things, by naming him the starting quarterback, we learn that Bear is the guy that does those the best.
I think Aaron likes a guy that goes 5 miles over the speed limit.
Okay.
I don't think he likes a volatile 10 or 12, might get a ticket, a little crazy. He wants a guy that's going to run the offense well, get the ball out quick, make a good decision, take care of the ball. What he's not saying is, yeah, I need just deep balls. He doesn't say explosive plays as the first or second thing. He says it as typically the third or fourth thing. He wants take care of the football, make good decisions, move the chains, be efficient. Those things. Because he knows they have a good run game. He knows they have an excellent defense. He knows they have amazing special teams. Yeah. If BYU was just meh, they were just mid on defense and special teams, he might say, no, we got to sling it. We need this guy to go out there and chuck it and get us a butt. That's not the case. That's not the formula, the business model for this BYU football program right now.
It's an interesting analogy with how aggressive a quarterback is, per se, behind the wheel of an offense. Zach Wilson typically operated...
I said a car thing, and you were like, let's go!
Listen, let's visit that.
Yeah.
Zach Wilson typically operated in the 10 to 14 miles an hour over the speed limit.
Zach was... we're making an analogy. This is not literal, okay?
He was that mindset.
an aggressive player on offense.
It was a higher volatility, perhaps.
Yes.
Not 2020. He was unbelievable.
And it hurt him early in his career. He just learned how to take his calculated risks. He knew where the law enforcement was, if you will, of the defense better in 2020.
Where it's acceptable
to break
the law.
Whereas in 2018 and 2019, he's just kind of a new driver and he's aggressive.
Now, wait a minute. Are we honoring and sustaining the law, Spencer?
Then Jaren Hall was that. I believe Jaren Hall was way more of the 5 miles an hour.
He was a 5 mile an hour.
Like I'm with it within the acceptable limits.
That's not saying they're not going to be aggressive at times where it makes sense.
No, but Jaren was a great athlete.
Yes.
So
don't be aggressive just to be aggressive. It's like, no, we're going to play action pass and then this is open.
Yes.
It's not just sling it. Like the days of Ty Detmer throwing for 4 touchdowns and 2 picks. These are not those days.
No.
What Aaron wants is 2 touchdowns, no picks. That kind of vibe with 3 rushing touchdowns.
Okay.
Or 3 touchdowns, maybe 1 pick. Maybe. You hope 0, but now, that kind of thing.
The question is, what type of quarterback behind the wheel of a car was Jake Retzlaff? Because
I would say a little more volatility.
At times it was, okay, 5 miles an hour. It just felt inconsistent.
There were times where I felt like he backed into another car. If you will.
Yeah.
Like SMU, I'm like, hey, just keep the ball and don't fumble it right there. You know. But Jake made a lot of plays. I think we maybe undersold Jake's playmaking ability, his experience.
He was the best, his best self in the 2-minute drill.
Yes. I think that Jake made a lot of plays. I want that to be acknowledged and understood. But in comes Bear Bachmeier. He brought Tiger Bachmeier as well, the two brothers, which is fun. They joined the show on May 8th when they transferred to BYU, and they talked about that decision, and Bear spoke about how he fits in the BYU offense.
Yeah, I think when you look at A-Rod's scheme and you know, there's a lot of pro-style principles, but then it's married with, you know, a lot of tailored to you know, dual threat and the kind of the modern quarterback, which I feel like kind of fits my game. So, yeah, I think it was a perfect fit, and yeah, I'm really excited.
And now Cougar Nation's excited to watch him play. He looks just like Hank, by the way. Like spitting image. Tiger, not so much.
Just a little bit. He's just a little bit.
He's a little bigger.
Bigger, like stronger, like more, I don't know the proper word, but like Bear is just a more physical type player. Hank was a little taller and skinnier.
Yes.
But they do look like each other a lot in the face.
The face, very similar face.
Yes.
Those guys are definitely bros.
Clearly, he felt good about Aaron Roderick's scheme.
Yeah.
And we've talked, I've had several people, why would Bear Bachmeier, why would this kid who had no original ties to BYU outside of they recruited him, but he's not a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and he turned down BYU, and it didn't seem like he was the right fit. Like, how does he end up at BYU? Like, well, some things happened at Stanford. They fired their head coach, got rid of the staff, and
he went and had spring and apparently wanted something different.
Then he remembers how he was recruited at BYU, starts to understand that maybe Aaron Roderick's scheme is good for me. Let's take a closer look at BYU. They visit.
Zach, Jaren, Keaton.
The NFL pipeline of BYU quarterbacks.
Yes, they've all been, are in the NFL. Like, they've been in or will be on rosters. You know, Jaren's trying to get on. Yes. Keaton's with the Texans. Zach's with the Dolphins.
And then the attention to detail of the culture at BYU, which allows really smart brothers to focus on academics and football and not have to worry about distractions. Like, it all perfectly kind of came together. But
yep.
Don't burn bridges. You always leave the door open.
Yeah.
In this day and age.
I think BYU is one of the top teams in the country in that space. I think people, and they don't speak negatively in recruiting. There are schools who do that quite a bit and target BYU. Well,
Kalani's mantra is, well, I wish you were going to play here, but we love you, and we wish you the best.
And we'll see you in a year in the portal. Maybe. That's up to the kids, right?
Our question of the day, what excites you the most about Bear Bachmeier being named BYU's starting quarterback now that it is official?
By the way, we learned something yesterday after practice. He chose to cut his hair. No one asked him to cut his hair.
He went
chose that.
Did it on his own.
Well, I changed that. You know who asked him to cut his hair? His mom. Mm. His mom actually said, hey, I think you need
just
to cut it.
Cut it. But the coaches,
that was
nobody
not
at BYU said that.
BYU came down and said, you need to cut your hair. They did not do that.
Like, in fact, they were like, you don't have to if you don't want to. But he's like, no,
I'll do it.
I just
want to do it.
Feel like I want to do it.
Okay.
And mom is
I do miss long hair. I thought it looked great.
At Tater Kugan X on what he's most excited about with Bear as the starter. The fact that Bear beat out two guys that I think are pretty decent quarterbacks.
Yeah,
sounds absolutely. Like he won the job rather than them losing it. Which is what we've been saying.
He won it. I mean, if you're McKay Hillstead, maybe you feel otherwise. Maybe you feel like, oh, I should have won this. I lost it or whatever. But again, those guys need to be ready. They just in case. You don't want that. But hey, it takes a team. It really does. You need depth at all positions.
At Yegor underscore Dioman underscore fan on X.
Nice.
Because that's how we say his last name now. The big playability. Last year, the defense blessed us with favorable field position.
Well cogitated. Oh,
did they ever. Yeah. So opportunistic was the offense after that. They continue. If that's not repeatable, BYU needs the deep ball and some chunk yardage that Bear can provide with his legs. Explosive plays.
Average starting field position was awesome. Yeah.
It was one of the best in the Big 12, if not the best in the Big 12. I didn't look after the bowl game.
Give me a second.
I didn't look after the bowl game. But, I mean, BYU was so good because of the defense in granting their offense favorable field position, not to mention special teams giving the offense many of the same scenarios with explosive plays in that realm of the football game.
Awesome.
Weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram to join that conversation. What excites you the most about Bear Bachmeier being named BYU's starting quarterback?
Offensively, BYU was 62nd in the country in starting field position, but defensively, they were 31st.
Yeah, okay.
So there you go.
Okay.
We're excited for the season, and it's going to be awesome. How many days away are we?
Countdown to the Vikings.
10 days away. That's the weird one where we have to throw the away in there. But, hey, 10 days.
Nice. Week and a half. Number.
Week and a half. Sports Illustrated's Pat 40 published a list of the 25 most intriguing non-quarterbacks in college football heading into the season. Coming in at number 7 on that list, BYU wide receiver and punt returner, and quarterback sometimes, Parker Kingston.
Well-deserved.
Well, very nice. That's cool. Besides quarterback, which player intrigues you the most heading into the season if it's not Parker?
Parker is intriguing, isn't he? Because he's throwing multiple touchdowns. He's got special teams touchdowns.
Again, get him a rushing touchdown. So he's
all of the
maybe
ways.
The first player in BYU history to score in 4 different ways.
In the BYU football realm, it's got to be Carson Ryan.
And nice.
Really the tight end position for me, because it's just disappeared over the last 4 seasons.
Why do you think that is?
Probably just the personnel involved in the offense. Not saying,
is it not fitting the scheme? What's the issue?
Not saying that the tight ends weren't good or capable. I just feel like BYU clearly went all in on what they felt were their best playmakers, which was slot receivers like Parker Kingston. You have your wide receivers on the outside like Keelan Marion, Darius Lassiter, Chase Roberts. And you felt really good about your running back. So I feel like maybe the tight end just got a little bit lost because of the personnel and how Aaron Roderick decided to distribute the ball. They still threw to the tight end on occasions, but it always felt like it was in the red zone. Like, the tight ends didn't have many catches last year, but they were often touchdowns.
Tama Tonsa had 4 catches and 3 touchdowns at one point.
They were often touchdowns, but you look at the tight end statistics since 2020, okay?
That was the Isaac Rex.
Freshman All-American, 12 touchdowns. There's just been this decline in touchdown production and overall receptions and yards. I feel like Carson Ryan has an opportunity to put BYU back on the upswing.
Yes.
That's why I'm most intrigued by him.
And I like that one. I don't like it as much as mine, but I like it a lot.
Okay.
Aaron Roderick said yesterday, Carson fits the mold of he's versatile where he can block in line, he can flex out and block, and he can be in the passing game. I think maybe that's what BYU has been missing and looking for, and I'm excited to watch him this year. I love that pick. I'm going with Siale Asera. Now, Siale is a guy who's waited patiently, shown us some things. I remember that pick as a freshman against TCU. Liz Frank, he comes back later in the year. Last year, he makes a contribution to the team.
It was great in the bowl game.
Now he's fully healthy, and it's his 3rd year in the system. He's competing with Che Bryant-Struther for time at middle linebacker. I think those two are going to give us a lot of quality in the middle there. And he looks to his left and his right, and he sees two NFL guys, Jack Kelly and Isaiah Glasker. I love what the possibility could be for Siale Asera and what he's going to do this year. I really don't judge a player a ton until they're a junior. When you're a junior, you need to start being a main guy. You need to show us some flashes the first couple years. Perhaps there was a redshirt in there. Now's the time for Siale Asera. I can't wait to watch him.
Expect him to be the starter in game 1. I know it's been a tight battle with Che Bryant-Strother. And we'll get the official depth chart.
Two experienced guys.
But both will play. Jay Hill said this much. But I think Ciale has the edge to start. He's a monster in the weight room. And what's interesting is when I talked to Jack Kelly and Isaiah Glasker yesterday, both those guys are known for their speed and their ability to rush off the edge and cover a lot of ground side to side. Like, their lateral movements are really good. They talk about how fast Ciale is.
And like, he's going to fill a hole.
That means something.
He'll get up in there. You'll be like, whoa, he popped that dude.
Like, that means something coming from his guy. Ciale was a really good running back in high school, too. A lot of people don't know that. Like, running away from people.
I pity the fool who has to meet Ciale in the hole if he has the ball. Holy mackerel. If you missed last night's episode of After Further Review, featuring player profiles on standout guys like Jack Kelly, Keanu Tanabasa, and others, you can find it on demand on the free BYU TV app.
After the break, BYU football head coach Kalani Sitake joins us in Studio B to discuss what went into the decision specifically to name Bear Bachmeier his starting quarterback and an overall recap from BYU football training camp. This is BYU Sports Nation.
Bear has earned the job. He's going to start against Portland State. He's our guy.
We put in the work. That tells us that we're in a really good position this year. Our guys understand where we're at. We got a lot to prove still, and I think I'm excited for everybody to find out what happens.
We are live in Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan. And as we promised all of you, now joining us in the Cougar Council Room is the BYU football head coach, Kalani Sitake. Back on the show. Training camp is officially in the books as you turn preparation out of Portland State. But as you look at training camp this year, Kalani, from what we could tell, seemed like it was pretty physical. How did it compare in that facet to years previous?
Yeah, I thought we probably did more 11-on-11, and we do that a lot, but more this year than we have in any other year that I've been here. I think the main reason is to see how the quarterbacks respond and react to you know, game-type situations, and some of it were live. The quarterbacks were never live, but and you know, we got mad at the guys that got close to them, but that's going to be another something else that we have to evaluate, but I have a feeling that our quarterbacks can handle the live stuff pretty good. I mean, they're all athletic. The one thing I feel really good about the end of camp is that all our quarterbacks can play. And that gives me I've been impressed with every one of them. And, you know, from 1 to 5, I feel good about all of them. And I thought they all made a jump in improvement and progress towards where I want to see them. I hope we don't use them all, you know what I mean? But the game is physical and it can be violent at times. And injuries are part of it, so depth is a key. We feel really good about the depth, but more than anything, we feel good about the way it kind of played out and the system that we put in place to allow them to prove it on the field.
You've got a hungry, experienced team. What did you want to accomplish, and then what did you do in training camp that you felt good about?
Yeah, I think we looked at the science of everything, and you, if you look at the data, the analytics that Dr. Main and Phyllis and the rest of our strength and conditioning staff have done. We've made a lot of improvements, and that's each person along the way. But then the camp, we wanted to push their limits a little bit. And so we told them yesterday, your legs aren't supposed to feel good right now. And but we're able to really function when we're tired. And you can see legs are weary, but the guys are actually playing at a high level, executing at a high level. It wasn't mistake-free, but imagine how it could be when their legs are going to be fresh next week. And we told them that part of, you know, recovery is part of your training too, so to recover. And they have today off. I mean, we're lifting, so it's not really any days off except for Sunday. But the guys mentally are getting themselves ready, and then physically we'll be ready to roll by the time we hit practice tomorrow and get an early start. So we'll practice Thursday, Friday, Saturday, have Sunday off, and then we just work towards our regular week. And so I feel really good about where we're at right now and what we've done in camp. We got some guys banged up, but that we knew that was going to happen at times. It's a violent sport, but we should get those guys back, and we'll see how it all goes.
Bear Bachmeier will become the 7th true freshman starting quarterback in BYU football history, but the first to start game number 1 of a season. As you assessed the quarterback battle, what were the clear indicators that you feel allowed him to create separation from the others and win the job?
I think from the beginning, when he first signed with us, there was a sense of urgency for him to learn the entire offense, and that's when he assumed that he'd be in a backup role and fighting for a backup spot. We wanted to learn as much as he could, But that never changed. From day one, and even when the situation changed, and now he's battling for a starting spot, that's always been there since day one. It wasn't all of a sudden he turned it up a little bit more because the opportunity that came forth. He's always been the same way since from the beginning, and been, you know, A-Rod and I and the entire team been really impressed with how easy it was for him to grasp the offense. I mean, he's still young. Well, he's a freshman, but a true freshman. But to have someone that has that focus on football and that demand on the offense is impressive. I haven't been around it myself. I mean, we've seen guys like Zach Wilson that have come in here as true freshmen, had a spring and still had to work through some things. But I mean, he's. I mean, I don't want to make any statements. Let's just find out on game day. And the benefit that we have is we get to see it every day. And so when we announced it was kind of like that was the feeling, the general feeling that the whole building had anyways. It wasn't like this was basically he was given a crowning moment. It was like I think eventually the guys can see that he earned the spot. And I say that with McKay and Trayson and Emerson and Cole, all those guys getting better too. So it elevated the whole room, the competition did. And I couldn't be happier with what we have. We're better and deeper in the quarterback room that we were, you know, 2 months ago, and I feel really comfortable going into the game with a lot of different guys.
Describe to us what it was like for him to try and win this job going up against your defense, because your defense is really good. And there are times where maybe it's frustrating for the offense or whatnot, and they made plays, the defense makes plays. But frankly, in fall camp, this defense should have made a lot of plays against the offense, right? They got to have a lot of experience.
And they did, and when you have new bodies, usually, even if everybody was coming back, the defense would be further ahead. Easier to install a defense than offense. I mean, if you look at a defense, 2, 3, 4 guys could do the wrong thing and they still get the play done. And it looks like a brilliant play. On offense, that cannot happen. You need everybody. You might get away with 1 or 2 guys maybe not doing their job to the fullest, but all 11 have to be clicking. And that takes some time. Sometimes you try to do as much as you can in the summer with PRPs and things like that, and the timing with the routes and all that. But when to get it to be cohesive and together, it takes time. So you can't expect it to be done in 1 week. So the first scrimmage, we knew there was going to be some problems. The defense was going to get further ahead. But the offense quickly made up the difference. And I think our last scrimmage and the last moments in live has been more back and forth, which is what you want to see. But I'm excited to see now us focus on an opponent. They're sick of playing each other, you know. That's why we took the camping trip, because I think if we didn't, these guys would have beaten each other up, you know, and we didn't need that. But they're just getting sick of playing each other, and because we did that quite a bit, and I thought they handled themselves the right way, and I think everybody's handling the competition. We just talked to in a team meeting today that, you know, the depth charts are coming out, and people are going to be sent to scout team, things like that, and there's guys that are playing in the NFL that played scout team 2 or 3 years, so that's not a knock. Everybody, the program moves together. The great thing we have is we have a lot of guys that can play. We have tons of guys that can play, and we feel good about their talent and even their abilities getting on the field, even if they're young. But the problem is only 11 can play at a time. So we feel really good about the number of players that we have. 11 can play at a time, and let's just focus on those 11. And the fact that we have more than 11 that can play on offense, defense, and special teams means that we can do some really cool things as well with different personnel packages and different type of plays.
Kalani Sitake, the BYU football head coach, is on BYU Sports Nation. A quick hitter before I ask you a more in-depth question. Are you a camper? Are you a guy that enjoys doing that?
No, I don't even like glamping. So, like, I'd rather just be at home, but... you know, and where we were at is a Heber Valley camp. It was like there's no service. So I kind of like being disconnected from everything. I mean, there's a guy that was running around our facility, and he was going to keep running. I mean, I was on social media. I guess he was going to keep running until I came out to see him, but we were out camping. And none of us even knew about it. So
what?
He came to practice yesterday.
Oh, the I believe in you?
Yeah, so we invited him to come back.
And gotcha. Was like, okay, okay.
Hey, dude, you got to make sure that we're in the building before you start doing that. But anyways, it was good to be disconnected from everything. It's good for the guys to hang out together and to do something other than just football. We did the faith walk up there. It was a really cool experience.
I've heard that's a great.
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah. And you don't have to be a member of the church to connect with your spiritual side. And yep. Having the guys just disconnect a little bit from football, I mean, they're always going to talk about it, but it was kind of nice to just take a break and get them at the lake and hang out. And then we were right back at it on, you know, Thursday night. So the guys did a great job handling it all. I feel really good about where we're at. Just going to see what happens when it comes Saturday night.
Okay, Kalani, not the glamper, but that's an extended conversation for another day. Back to the in-depth training camps situation. I just am interested to know what type of temperament and leadership role a guy like Bear Bachmeier brings to the field, because we haven't seen him like you have day in and day out of practice. So what is he like in those aspects?
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't act like a regular freshman. I mean, I think when you're playing that quarterback position, you have to have, I mean, you're the voice that echoes the play to the team. So you have to have a certain presence about you, and you can see it. You guys have been around him. You can see it on him. But I also just want him to be himself and not feel like he has to be anybody else. And he can just be who he is and be the best version of himself. And that's going to be good enough. I also don't expect him to get out there and be the rah-rah guy like Batty was for us last year. I think Keanu can handle that, and Chase Roberts can handle that stuff. But you know, the quarterback, I think it's his example and the things that he cares about, his work ethic, that's enough of an example that he can be as a leader for us. He'll get more comfortable in the role, and when that happens, you'll start to see it. But I think a quarterback, you have to have a little bit of a voice, and you have to have a different presence about you. And I think he and the other quarterbacks in the room have that.
Since 2000, four true freshman quarterbacks have led their teams to 10 or more wins. It is difficult. Yet, you've said, hey, this kid's pretty good. What do you feel like he and this team can do? Because we've talked about it. The formula for this team isn't to have the quarterback go nuts and win the game. It is a team. So how do you feel about what you've got going into the season led by a true freshman quarterback?
Well, I feel like we don't have to rely on one thing. We have a lot of things that we can do. It helps to have veteran receivers, and then in the rotation you have really quality receivers that have a lot of talent and speed. Helps to have tight ends that are veterans as well, and that are physical and they can block. And then you have an O-line that we have more than five guys that can start, and the versatility that they have, flexibility that TJ Woods has done with that room is amazing. I mean, TJ has guys training, playing, they can play different positions, not just one, which gives you a lot of really cool things that you can do offensively, and there's a lot of moving parts. So we have more than five that can start. We also feel comfortable with more than 10 that can play. So that's a huge compliment, and I'm saying TJ Woods has done a great job with A-Rod and that whole staff, and then it helps that you have LJ Martin back as a running back, and then backed by Sione, and in the rotation we have a bunch of guys that can play. So that helps, and then it also helps that you have a defense that's flying around and well coached, and they're starting to really understand the scheme. There's not a lot of miscommunication between Jay Hill's expectations and the defense, and it's starting to really click. I mean, it's going to be really fun to watch. And then it helps also that you have special team veterans, whether it's your punter and or your kicker or your snapper. There's a lot of guys that have tons of experience there. So I think all that can rally the team around Bear and even the young guys that are playing different spots. And we don't expect him to do everything, but when their moment comes, we want them to shine. And so they're capable of doing all that stuff that you just mentioned. I just don't think that we have to lean on it. If only one thing is that we can throw the ball and that's it, then we're in trouble. We got to be able to do everything, and we got to be great in all three phases.
BYU football head coach Kalani Sitake is on BYU Sports Nation. From the Journal of Captain Obvious, you had a really good team last year. So when you look at this year's roster, where do you feel like you could maybe be even better in at least some aspects of the game than you were with last year's squad?
Well, I hate comparing year to year. I'd rather just look at what I think what our potential can be as a team. I'd like to see us create our identity and then have it show in the games. And I think sometimes you get yourself in trouble when you make statements. I'm trying to make a statement. I'd rather just have the team do it on the field.
They don't know, but they're about to find out. Is that what you'd say?
Well, I mean, that's all of us, right? But I think we know a little bit more. I mean, last year I remember talking to you guys and feeling pretty good about it. I feel pretty good about it too. So the thing is, I can't control is I don't know what the opponents are doing. I can only control what we do. But what I want to do is play at our best 12 times so we can create more opportunities for our team and then for our fans. So I know that there's a lot of excitement just for this game. I mean, you can hear the veterans talking to the newcomers, like, hey, when you get into Lavelle Edwards Stadium, that's going to be something special, and you're going to love it. It's going to get the most out of you. And so they're even talking to Bear about it, and we got a little taste of it when we had the Cougar Club members watch practice after the camp out. That practice was a lot of juice and energy, and that's just with a few thousand that were there. Imagine when that place is packed and the rock is rolling and everything's going. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I just want the guys to work hard, and then we got to party and have a good time when game time shows up.
It feels like this is like a pivotal time in BYU football history. I say that because it's year three of being in the Big 12. You had an unbelievable year last year. The recruiting is incredible for the 26 team. Talk to me about what's going on with BYU football right now and where it's headed, because it feels like it's in an unbelievable direction.
Well, I think we've been able to capitalize on a lot of opportunities that have come our way. The Big 12 conference obviously is a major one. But it's also the investment, the intention of what we're trying to do as a program. And for us, it's not just about football. I mean, I'm focused on what our guys can do, but it's got to be more than just what they do on the field. And we're not perfect, but man, I love who they are, and they're perfect to me. The players and the team is, and the fans are too. You know, the fans aren't perfect, but they are to me, and they are to our team. So
even if they're circling your camp, trying to
get
attention.
Yeah, yeah, right? But it's like everything that they do, it doesn't really matter. They're interested. What we can do is turn their frustrations into cheers, and they're, you know, if we're doing our part, everybody's cheering, and it's super special when they're all cheering and smiling, and that there's nothing like it from that perspective on the field, and you're seeing it up. It's there's nothing like it.
If you haven't noticed, it feels like everybody has an opinion on why this rise is happening within BYU athletics and what goes into it. But you have been very, very forthright about the mission that BYU football plays, not just in athletics, but for the mission of the school and the mission of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. How do you feel like those relationships are being displayed and portrayed right now as we push into the future?
Yeah, well, our mission is always going to be aligned. As a football team, it's going to be aligned with the university and with BYU and the mission of the university, and then it's going to be aligned with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And so even though we're in different times now than we've ever been before with transfer portal and how it is and NIL and now with RevShare, and what's going on with being able to pay student-athletes, not just football players, but student-athletes altogether. So we're in the mix. I mean, that's when we have rules and we have laws that are given to us by the NCAA or by the university, we follow them, but we're going to make the best out of it. And so, but our focus will always be on what we think makes us different, makes us unique. Our focus will be on being disciples of Christ. And that doesn't mean you have to be perfect. It just means your intent and what you're trying to be focused on is there. And so as we're allowed to do these things with NIL and with RevShare and things like that, we still want guys that fit the program, fit the culture and the mission of the school, the program, football program, and the church. And so as we do that, I feel really good about where the team's going and how we're doing that. I say it over and over again, we're going to do what we think is right, and we're going to do our best, but I don't think people should expect us to be perfect at it, but we're pretty close.
You know what we missed at the beginning of this?
What's that?
We didn't introduce him with his new title. Senior Associate Athletic Director Kalani Sitake.
My apologies, Kalani.
Hey, I've been given a lot of other titles unofficially No, I mean, thank you. But
congrats on it. Yeah,
thank
cool.
you. I mean, that's I love this place, and I love who we get to work with. I'm excited to work, you know, under the leadership of Brian Santiago as our athletic director and Keith Warkinkler as a vice president, and definitely with President Reese. You know, it's a really cool thing, and I'm just happy to be involved. But I'm still the same old me. Before, I was a senior associate athletic director and a head coach and a former player for Lavelle. Always been a fan. The fan is always going to be there.
But he's not a camper, folks.
But he's not.
No, sorry.
I agree with that part.
I mean,
yeah, exactly.
We had food catered up to us and stuff like that, so I didn't have to.
That ain't camping.
No, but yeah. So I guess we weren't really camping that. But I'm sorry. I don't want to sit in the tent and.
Hey, it was cool for Lehigh, not for me.
I don't blame you at all.
Yeah, there's a reason why I wasn't born at that time and where I had
luckily.
To do. The guys, I feel like we're mocking people that had to do that.
I appreciate their sacrifice so that we can stay in our house.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Thank you for understanding.
Yeah.
100%.
This is not a knock on people that love the camp.
That's great.
Go just do it.
Don't invite them.
I also don't run marathons. Don't be mad at, don't be mad at me about that either, you know?
So he's a sprinter.
We all have our own things that we like.
I'd rather walk and not run unless it's a BYU football game.
Run and not be wary.
So we have differences, but we can at least appreciate it. That's not my style. Glamping, there's nothing, I don't know. It's just like, I just don't feel good. Yeah. But if I'm paying for housing somewhere, I'd rather just stay there.
Amen.
Amen to that. Kalani, great to have you. Thanks so much.
You guys are awesome.
Hey, the season premiere of BYU football with Kalani Sitake. If you like that interview, there's a whole hour. Coming up next week, the season debut. It's on Tuesday, August 26th at 8:30 Eastern on the BYU TV app. No pressure, Kalani. That's Gregor Bell's birthday and wedding anniversary.
Oh,
next
wow.
Tuesday.
Whoa.
He did it all in one day.
All in one day.
Still on the way. BYU women's soccer jumps into the top 25 after an upset win on the road last week and a tie. But how high did they climb? Headlines after this on BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. And these are your Wednesday headlines.
BYU head coach Kalani Sitake, who just spoke with offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick, officially named Bear Bachmeyer BYU starting quarterback for the season opener against Portland State. He'll become the first true freshman to start at quarterback in a game since 2018, Zach Wilson, and the first ever to start a season opener.
BYU football also held their final practice officially of training camp yesterday. The team will have an off day today before returning to practice tomorrow and opening preparations for the season opener against Portland State just 10 days away.
Chase Roberts, Will Farron, Waylon Lapu'ahu, Jack Kelly, named to the Senior Bowl's top 300 players watch list, which features players who are eligible in the 2026 NFL Draft. And BYU running back LJ Martin, this just in, named to the preseason watch list for the Earl Campbell Tyler Rose Award, given annually to the top offensive player in college football who played high school football in Texas. He's from El Paso.
Let's go. BYU women's soccer jumps into the top 25 of the United Soccer Coaches Poll at number 19. After picking up a gritty road win at 24th-ranked Minnesota last week, down a player for much of the game, and they earned a draw 2-2 at Cal Poly on Monday. The Cougars host UCLA Saturday night, 9 Eastern on ESPN Plus Southfield.
That's a massive game. Remember when UCLA was number one a couple years ago?
Oh, yeah.
That was awesome. And former BYU pitcher Justin Sterner threw two scoreless innings, striking out two for the A's in a 6-3 win over the Twins.
With fall camp officially in the books for BYU football, it's time to look back on our pre-fall camp awards and revisit the predictions we made and then give out who actually won the fall camp awards. That's next on BYUSN. The BYU football training camp MVP in 2025 will be who?
A game ready shape guy.
Oh yeah, that guy award.
Most improved player.
Top freshman.
Let's revisit those later and be like, did we nail it?
Well, it's time to find out. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation live in Studio B. Yeah, we're having a look back at our pre-fall camp awards.
We ain't scared.
Who we said would be the fall camp MVP. Let's remind everyone who you said and who I said.
I said the actual award. AP Chase.
I thought it would be LJ Martin. We were both wrong, right?
Well, what I actually said was whoever wins the quarterback job. So, Bear Bachmeyer.
He's clearly the fall camp MVP. Even though it's not in the fall. It's just... training camp.
We're trying to
whatever
change to say just training camp, if you haven't noticed.
Bear Bachmeyer, the actual winner of the
I think so.
Training camp MVP.
For all the reasons we said in the A block, as we call it, the opening segment in training. Okay, so our next award, the game ready shape guy, the person who looks the part.
Yeah, I said Jack Kelly.
I said Maury Bamba.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now that we've gone through training camp, it's still Hinkley Ropati.
He always looks ready, dude. You're kidding, but that dude's ready.
He's like ready to go.
We see him at practice. He can't like practice with the team. He's waiting for a waiver.
Still doing drills and
like after, he'll be running around and you're like, still Jack.
He's the Incredible Hulk,
dude.
It's wild.
That's what Hercules looked like, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Hercules.
Hinkley is the guy. If he can play on the team, But real, honest kidding aside, Tanner Wall, to me, looks like a guy who has raised his muscle composition. He looks cut and faster. He says as much. I think he's ready, game ready shape guy.
He's in the right spot. He's one of the smartest free safeties BYU's ever had. He's amazing. Isaiah Glasker is the guy for me. He is creating fumbles in drills. He is in the backfield. He is going to be an All-American candidate.
Let's go.
I can't wait to watch him play.
Woo! Under our next award, the, oh yeah, that guy.
I said Will Farron because you just forget that maybe the best player at his position is sitting over there. He's just not kicking.
Yeah.
Will Farron.
And my guy was Ethan Erickson of the tight ends because he's been around forever.
Unfortunately, Ethan a little banged up, still trying to get healthy. Mine is Tommy Prassis. Mm. So we saw him with that scoop and score against Kansas State. He had a pick against Oklahoma State. He's a good young player. They have put him in nickel as they wait for Jonathan Cabea to get a little more healthy. Tommy Prassis just makes plays. That's what he does. So Tommy Prassis is the, oh, yeah, that guy.
Okay. And to his credit, he probably deserves some more notoriety.
And Tommy, frankly, told me the other day, because we were talking about speed, he said, I'm the fastest white boy on the team.
There you go.
So there you go.
Maybe we should do that award.
Take that for what it's worth.
My oh, yeah, that guy pick is Sam Vanderhaar, Jerem.
Nice.
Right? We just forget. Like, BYU's got a great punter.
He does.
And the best accent on the team.
Yes, and the guy that doesn't wear pads.
Yes.
In front of his, he just pulls his shorts off and he punts.
The short pants.
He's great.
Football pants.
That is the rare, he's not a member of the church, came in married guy.
Sam Vanderhaar.
You know what I mean?
Like, oh, yeah, that
he's
guy.
Got a personality, Australia, the whole thing. I like that guy.
Love
Kay.
Sam.
On to the most improved player.
I said it would be Ciale Acera.
That was a great pick. I said Cody Hagan.
It might actually be Ciale Acera, but maybe because I had expectations for him, it's tough for him to improve even more because I already thought he was great.
Yeah.
JoJo Phillips is a name that I keep hearing from everybody in the wide receiver room and from Fessy Satakye and Aaron Roderick and all the quarterbacks about the guy who has straight up impressed. He is the most improved player in my mind.
To me, Cody Hagan's improvement is even better. Yeah, than almost everybody on the team. That's why I'm saying, well, it is most on the team. Most improved player. They're going to use him. They're going to use his speed. And I'm interested to see what that looks like, whether it's jet sweeps, kick return game, deep balls. Former Gatorade Player of the Year, he's a year off his mission now. The year after you get back from your mission, it's just not the same physically. We've seen this for a lot of guys. It's rare to be in unbelievable shape off, like Fui Vakapuna was. Asikali was unbelievable. Cody Hagan, to me, is going to figure into that kind of fourth or fifth receiver for BYU now.
Interesting that we both picked receivers as the most improved players. Okay, on to the top freshman award.
I said Naki Tuakoi, linebacker.
I gave Naki Tuakoi and LaMason Waller the
look
third.
At you, just throwing out two. I thought it was
one on defense, one on offense.
Yeah.
LaMason had probably the most spectacular highlight of training camp.
Yes.
With the catch from Bear Bachmeyer.
It's tough to break into that group. My hope, frankly, for him is a redshirt this year, four games in a bowl game.
Okay. Naki's a great player, but who is the actual top freshman?
I've been hearing about Cannon DeVries in the secondary with the cornerback specifically. He's trying to vie for kind of that fifth or sixth corner spot, and then he's in the depth chart for a nickel apparently. Super, super athletic dude. Trey Alexander told me in the interview that aired the other day, he's the best basketball player on the team. And that tells you about some athleticism.
Okay.
Off a Mish, by the way.
And Jay Hill said that Cannon is, he might just be that guy. They need a fifth corner. They need
that's
that
what I'm
guy.
Saying. That's wild off a Mish.
How is the top freshman not Bear Bachmeyer?
Well, of course, besides Bear. What? I thought that was obvious.
Well, I couldn't get around it. I'm like, he's,
boo.
He's
the,
but we didn't pick him.
Boo.
We did not pick him.
Well,
as the top freshman.
Besides Bear. Come on.
Your leadership award, Jerem.
Yeah, I give it to Chase Roberts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I give it to Keanu Tanuvasa.
Yeah, I think those are the clear leaders on both sides.
They're the cheerleaders. Kalani said as much in our interview with them.
No, that's the next one.
Those are the guys.
The next one's
the sorry. Yeah.
How dare you?
The actual cheerleader award. We both said Trey Alexander, and I'm sticking with it. I think he's the best.
I think that turned into Waylon Lapu'ahu because he's kind of rehabbing, getting back. You know,
oh, okay.
They say he's going to be ready for game one, but he's literally on the sideline.
So
sometimes.
He is in
he's
the
literally cheerleading.
Cheerleading
chirping
role.
At Trey, probably.
Okay. Trey is hilarious. Your interview with him was fantastic.
I love Trey. Trey's great.
Okay, which mama's going to cry?
Which mama's going to cry?
The opponents are mine.
The season premiere of Coordinators Corner returns Monday. Great show. Are there other people who do this show? I mean, this is incredible. Aaron Roderick, Jay Hill, Kelly Papenga, preview the Portland State game Monday, August 25th, 2 Eastern on the BYU TV app.
After the break, our elite voice of the day and a rising shout out to a really cool moment after practice yesterday. Called to serve on BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Station. What excites you the most about Bear Bachmeyer being named BYU's starting quarterback? Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare, careers built for victory, comes in from @quick_Rick on X, who says, "We are so Bachmeyer."
Nice. More puns.
Today's Rise and Shoutouts presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Emerson Geilman read his mission call to the team yesterday. Congratulations to him. Brazil, Sao Paulo, Interlagos mission, January 12th. He told me, when we play in the Natty January 19th, we're going to have to push him back.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Love that from Emerson. Our thanks to today's guest, Kalani Sitake.
Sorry, Dennis.
For Jerem, I'm Spencer. Shout out to Ben Cahoon. Go Cougs.
CFL legend.